Hello and welcome to the 284th edition of the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. In Nashville, Tennessee, I'm the Professor Emeritus, Matt Perkins. And a drag route across the Harpeth River from me here in the Music City, it's our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton.
What's up, man? We just wrapped a really good episode. You should, if you haven't checked it out, you should do so on our coaching carousel. I had my judge robe on and I played judge for the coaching carousel. So that was a very, very fun episode, but I'm ready to talk some championship games.
All right. Well, we can't get started without the third amigo in the second city. A man who wishes that he was driving a Morgan. It's our intrepid blogger from Big Ten Accounting, Josh Cook.
Great cars, great cars. I'm excited to talk about the FCS playoffs, another always fun segment that we missed last week because I don't ever remember them starting the playoffs on the final week of the year, rivalry week.
Yeah, it made no sense. As most of you guys already know, we are presented to you by betonline.ag, and we're better than ever. A new web interface for the rest of NBA season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. So head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your welcome bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Let's get right into those FCS playoffs. The bracket is out. We are in the second weekend. Our top eight seeds got a bye. Just a reminder, our top eight seeds, Sam Houston State at, or I guess they're just Sam Houston at this point, number
the
one.
The Bearcats.
Number two, North Dakota State.
Bison.
Number three, James Madison.
The Dukes.
Number four, the Dukes.
Number four, Sacramento State.
The No Idea, the Scorpions. I don't know. I honestly don't know their mascot. I know they have a good football team. I just don't know their mascot.
Sacramento State.
We're looking it up.
We're looking it up on the fly, baby. They're the Hornets.
The Hornets. There we go.
Josh, do you know what their mascot's actual name is?
Horny the Hornet.
Herky the Hornet.
Those bastards, they stole Iowa. I no
spelled
longer like
differently.
His
spelled differently. Spelled with a Y.
Oh, that's fine.
Spelled with a Y instead of an IE.
Well, that's fine.
Number five.
Herky's spelled with a Y.
Wait, your Herky spelled with a Y?
Yes.
I thought it was what? With an IE.
I don't, not that I'm aware of. Herky the Hawkeye.
That's embarrassing.
H-E-R-K-Y.
Oh, it is with a Y. I am very sorry, Josh.
That's embarrassing.
You're insulting the Big Ten West champions that won fair and square with no issues.
Oh my God. I'm not even talking about that. I can't. I will not talk about the Axe game. Number five, Villanova.
I can't actually about it.
The Wildcats.
Number six, Montana.
The Grizzlies.
Number seven, Eastern Tennessee State University.
Buccaneers.
And number eight, Montana State University.
Bobcats, and I'm not looking any of these up.
I know you're not looking those up.
Bobcats.
So let's start in our here in the round of 16. Sam Houston State, number one team in the country. They're taking on Incarnate Word.
Mm-hmm.
Word to your mother, or in this case for them,
they're victorious over the Lumberjacks.
They beat Stephen F. Austin 35-28 to get into the Sweet 16, if you will. But instead of word to your mother, I'm going to say they're probably saying word to the Virgin Mary, Mother of Jesus, because it is Incarnate Word. Josh, Sam Houston State is the number one team in the country. In
yes.
FCS football, they have been outstanding this season.
10-0. Undefeated.
Undefeated. I think the only real major undefeated team that we have here.
Yeah, they are the only undefeated team.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So
makes it even easier. Look, their point differential has been absolutely absurd this year. 424 points for 173 against. I know their conference is a very strange situation. The Atlantic Sun and the Western Athletic Conference, the ASUN WAC, are doing a challenge this year. So their conference says ASUN WAC Challenge. It didn't really matter who they played. They dominated the schedule. Incarnate Word, good story. Nice that they won a game here in the playoffs. But the Southland Conference just is not particularly good. And Incarnate Word, you sort of see some of the cracks when you look at their point differential. 471 points for, 301 points against. I don't think Word has a defense at all that can slow the Bearcats down.
Yeah, I don't think that they do. I don't think that they do either. And frankly, like, I'm not sure if there's a lot of teams that are going to be able to compete with this Sam Houston State team.
I don't think anyone can until the title game, to be honest with you.
Ooh. Not the winner of Montana State, UT Martin. Because
the Skyhawks?
I'm actually here for UT Martin. UT Martin is, to me, a really, really interesting team. They have just a, you know, I think that they're actually a pretty balanced team for the most part. And one of the things that I like about this Martin team is, you know, is the fact that they have just been able to get it done, you know, pretty much no matter what. They went on a big they won nine consecutive games in the middle of the season. They beat traditional power Jacksonville State. You know, they've had some really, really good wins on the season. And you know what? I'm here for UT Martin. I think that they have a really nice rushing attack. Peyton Logan, Zach Wallace, really nice 1-2 punch at halfback. So I don't know, Josh, what say you?
My worry with any Ohio Valley Conference team when we get to the playoffs is the OVC is not one of our powerful conferences.
That's true.
So just, you know, to kind of highlight this point, second place and third place in the OVC were Southeast Missouri and Austin Peay. Each of them went 4-2 in conference. Each of them outside of conference, CMU, 0-5. And Austin Peay, 2-3. So the OVC is just not a strong enough conference to really trust UT Martin. Obviously, the upset would be awesome. UT Martin would be big underdogs if they were to knock off Montana State and get to that semifinal game. But I'm not seeing it. Or not semifinal, but the regional final.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, over on the other half of the upper portion of the bracket, North Dakota State versus Southern Illinois. North Dakota State, traditional power. They're not quite as strong maybe this year as they have been in years past, but that doesn't change the fact that they still have an awesome defense and a very strong rushing attack.
Yeah, I mean, you know you're privileged when you can be 10-1, the number two seed overall, and people are saying, well, you took a little bit of a step back this year. This is a conference game. Yeah. So they've already played Southern Illinois, and they shut them out, 20-0. So obviously the Bison, big favorites in this one. It's funny, you look at their offensive players and their quarterback play, you know, they've had to play a few different guys. Running back, their leading rusher, only has 500 yards on the season. But their leading receiver, talk about a safety net, Christian Watson, 800 receiving yards almost, 39 catches, 7 touchdowns. He's a real difference maker for a team that, you know, just suffocates you with defense. That's their bread and butter.
And, you know, number one scoring defense in the country for North Dakota State. Next, I think, is a really interesting matchup. Probably the best chance for the unseeded team to win for me, East Tennessee State and Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State is not seeded despite being ranked fourth in the country.
Yeah.
which in the polls, which is really, really interesting to me. They have the number two rushing offense in the country. The number one, they're actually number one in passing efficiency. They don't throw the ball much, but when they do, it works, and they're great on third down. They're converting almost 50% of their third down conversions, and they have the quintessential bend but don't break defense. They're number one in red zone defense in the country. Teams are only scoring 55% of the time when they make it into the red zone against Kennesaw State, which to me is wild. Like that is amazing. So I really like Kennesaw State to pull the upset here.
Yeah, these two teams.
I mean, if you even want to call it an upset.
Yeah, these two teams are really good, and it sucks that they have to face each other. Quite honestly, I don't know what the committee saw to put Kennesaw where they did. I guess it's maybe a reflection on the Big South. Monmouth took a step back this year compared to last year, so maybe they're looking at that. But I mean, this team went 11-1, and their lone loss on the season was Georgia Tech. East Tennessee, they are 10-1. Their lone loss was UT Chattanooga. They beat Vanderbilt. Very, very, very solid teams, both of these teams. I really like the balance that East Tennessee has. And I think if they win, that's going to be the difference maker. They have Tyler Riddell, has over 2,000 passing yards and 16 touchdowns. His backfield mate, Quay Holmes, almost over 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns. You know, are they going to run? Are they going to pass? Got to love that balance. It's going to make Kennesaw State's day hard, but obviously Kennesaw has the talent to pull what at least per the seeds is an upset.
Yeah, and ETSU as well is awesome. They are like Iowa. Their turnover margin is absurd. I think that they are, I want to say that they're like plus like 15 for the year or something like that. It's absolutely outstanding for them. Bottom half of the bracket, we'll start with a classic Northeast matchup, Villanova and Holy Cross. Crusaders beat Sacred Heart, another Northeast team. So they're really trying to make that the Northeast part of the bracket. Nova, though, has had an outstanding season. They are, again, another really solid defensive team. If you look at, they're really good at preventing teams from just moving the ball at all. Only they're third in the country in total defense, only giving up 255 yards per game, which is great, except for Holy Cross is number one in the country, giving up 252 a game. But then again, they play in the Patriot League, which is not exactly the strongest conference, Josh.
Yeah, obviously the Patriot League, not anything compared to the Colonial. So people are picking Villanova for, some good reason. But this Holy Cross team is frisky. This Holy Cross team beat Connecticut, beat Monmouth, ran through their conference. I mean, their point differential in conference is hilarious. It's 253-76. The next closest team in terms of defense within conference games for the Patriot League was Lehigh at 121 and Colgate at 120. Just, this Crusader team was awesome. Unfortunately, the way the Patriot League is, it would stand to reason this is the end of their journey. Villanova, 7-1 in the stacked Colonial. They beat James Madison in a huge game, 28-27. The two losses for Villanova this year was Penn State, understandable. William & Mary, a head-scratcher. So if Holy Cross stands any chance, we're going to have another head-scratcher by Villanova. But they're really good, and their quarterback, Daniel Smith. Can I interest you in over 2,000 passing yards and 22 touchdowns? Because that's what he has. That's what he has. So.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a good one. I think the game of the weekend, though, might be this next one. It is
your Jackrabbits?
It's going to be an absolute, it's going to be a banger between the Hornets and the Jackrabbits. Sacramento State, South Dakota State. South Dakota State has had a weird year. They're 8-3 with losses to Southern Illinois in overtime, Northern Iowa, who got knocked out in that early first round, and at South Dakota. But they beat North Dakota State 27-19 earlier in the year, and they beat Colorado State by 19 opening weekend. And
but then beating Steve Adazio, I mean, come on.
I mean, even Vanderbilt beat them, to be fair. So, weird year. Just like a weird year, a weird team. They have a... It's just they have some really strong. They still have Pierre Strong in the backfield. You know, he ran for nearly 1,500 yards. They still have the Yonke brothers, Jackson, and I forget the other one's name, playing receiver. It's not the same team that we saw last spring. But it's still a formidable opponent, and on the right day, they can play with anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people are looking at for South Dakota State is they won 9 games overall. They won 5 games in their conference. Their 3 losses, Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois, South Dakota. What do they have in common? No, it's not that they have a direction in their name. All 3 made the playoffs. So the Missouri Valley is stacked as always. So people that are picking South Dakota State are essentially saying they play the toughest schedule every year. It's toughened them up. They're a better team. I don't know if that's true. Sacramento State lost to UNI early in the season. Then they lost to Cal. They were sitting at 1-2. They had a nail biter against Idaho State, 23-21. But since that rocky start, they have caught lightning in a bottle. They have ripped off 8 straight wins. The most impressive of them has to be knocking off the Cal Poly folks and the Montana folks. Pretty nice wins there. The big Sky has a lot of teams, so they unfortunately didn't get Montana State. So we didn't get to see them against the other best team. We didn't get to see them against Eastern Washington either. But those did. Yeah, but those Davis wins and Grizzly wins, nothing to scoff at. So this is, you know, people taking South Dakota State, I understand it. The conference is intriguing, but, you know, it's out on the West Coast. It'll be out in Sacramento. This is a really good team. I think there's a reason why the Hornets are seeded and the Jackrabbits aren't. I think Sacramento State, they're getting some really impressive quarterback play from Jack Dunaway with over 2,000 passing yards on the season. The Hornets do a lot of nice things. This is going to be a fun game. I'm with you, Matt. It's my favorite one of the round.
All right. Two more quickly. We've got James Madison, Southeastern Louisiana. James Madison, the 3 seed in the tournament. But as talented as anyone in FCS, they lead the nation in turnover margin. They're second in total defense. They're in the top 5 in scoring offense, passing efficiency, rushing offense, third down conversion percentage on defense, first downs allowed on defense. I mean, this is a complete team. Their only loss is to that Villanova squad we talked about earlier by 1 point in what was probably the game of the year in the Colonial.
Yeah, Southeast Louisiana, another Southland team, really fun team. They're 9-3. Their 3 losses were Louisiana Tech by a field goal, Incarnate Word, who won the division or won the conference, excuse me, by a field goal, and the Nicholls State by a field goal. So they're just a few bounces away from being undefeated. How did they win their opening game? Well, they had a favorable matchup. Florida A&M, the Rattlers, finished 2nd in the SWAC division, which means that they didn't make it to the big old bowl game that those SWAC conference teams get to play. So Florida A&M was like, all right, we'll take a playoff bid, see what happens. So it was a very favorable matchup for Southeastern Louisiana. They are a fun team. They're a good team. But Matt, you laid it out. My God, do they have a tough matchup in this one. Let's give some love to the Southeast Louisiana quarterback, Cole Kelly. Coach, you'll like this as an offensive coordinator. Cole Kelly this year, 4,727 passing yards with 42 touchdowns.
Damn.
He's also the team's leading rusher with 480 rushing yards, and he had 16 rushing touchdowns.
Wow. That's incredible. I love that. Yeah, sign me up for that.
All right, finally, we have a Big Sky matchup, Montana and Eastern Washington. Montana is the seeded team here, but Eastern Washington won their matchup earlier this season at home on the red turf, the crimson turf, back in early October, 34-28. Eastern Washington, what do we know about Eastern Washington? They are going to air it out, and then air it out some more. They still have Eric Berrier playing quarterback there, who seems like he's been there absolutely forever. He had another really strong season this year. He
4,540 yards, 41 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. That's pretty, pretty solid. And he threw 41 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. So we'll take that. However, Montana's no slouch. They're sort of the flip side. A lot of these Big Sky teams are offense first. They are defense first team. They're number 2 in the country in scoring defense, only giving up 13 points per game. They're great in special teams. They have the best punting team in all of FCS. They're great at returns, number 4 in kick returns in FCS, and they don't allow a lot. Their offense is no great shakes, but they get the job done, especially with defense. I mean, if you look back since they lost to Sacramento State back in mid-October, their last 5 games, they've given up 14, 19, 0, 3, and 10 points in 5 consecutive wins. I think that I'll take that every single day of the week. I think we've got another, irresistible object or immovable force kind of thing going on here. Irresistible force, immovable object, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, for people wondering,
resistible force and movable object.
For people wondering why Montana is the seeded team after losing to Eastern Washington and Sacramento State during the season, the answer is they've ripped off 5 wins in a row, including blowing out Montana State. They get this game at home. That's going to be huge. That could be the difference maker. This game is being played all the way on December 8th. December 3rd. Can't read my notes sometimes. The forecast for that game, 48 and cloudy. There's showers for Saturday. So if that storm front comes in early and impacts this game on Friday the 3rd, who knows? Maybe that slows down the Eastern Washington passing attack. Missoula's had some weird weather games before, so that one will be intriguing.
All right. Those are the matchups for this coming weekend.
Go Skyhawks. That's the team I'm getting behind here.
That's what we have this weekend for FCS. In terms of the FBS, we got some title games, boys.
Yeah. We do.
Do we want to make picks real quick on the bracket?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I'll go first.
Go for it.
I'm taking Sam Houston, North Dakota State, Montana State, and man, that Kennesaw game is going to be crazy. I like the balance a little bit of the Bucks. So I've got those 4 teams making it. I got Villanova. I got James Madison. I'm going to take the home cooking of Sacramento State, but I'm sorry, Montana. I need an upset somewhere. I can't go chalk everywhere. Eastern Washington passing attack just, it's always terrifying. So I'm going to take Eastern Washington to pull all right. off that upset.
I'm also taking Sam Houston. I'm also taking North Dakota State. I am taking UT Martin.
Ooh, there we go. And you're taking Kennesaw. You're talking yourself into it.
And I'm taking Kennesaw State. Yeah, I'm definitely taking Kennesaw State here. Going with Nova out of the Colonial. I'm also with you, Josh. I'm going with Eastern Washington. James Madison's an easy choice for me. And then the toughest matchup, Sacramento, South Dakota State.
You love your Jackrabbits.
I do love some Jackrabbits. I love some Jackson Yankee. I love some Pierre Strong. And so I can't, I feel like their talent is going to come through. So I'm going to take South Dakota State. So I'm picking three upsets this weekend.
Ooh, there we Coach. Go.
Okay. So I'm going to go Sam Houston. I'm going to go Skyhawks. All right. I'm going North Dakota State. I'm going Bucks here.
Okay. TSU, okay.
TSU, okay. So I'm going
more loyalty to Tennessee than in Georgia.
In this regard, yes. yes. I'm going Eastern Washington. I'm going James Madison. I'm digging Sacramento State, so I'm going I think they're gonna win a tight one over the Jackrabbits. And I like Villanova.
All right. So we consensus for us: James Madison, Eastern Washington, Villanova, Sam Houston, and North Dakota State are consensus for all of us. Love it.
All right.
Okay.
Next round.
Next. All right. We will get to that next week.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah. We'll get to it next week. Let's get to some championship games on the FBS side. Let's start in the SEC. We knew coming into the weekend it was going to be Georgia, Alabama, that had already been locked in. Alabama tried their darndest to lose that Iron Bowl.
But there's an SEC championship game this weekend?
Yeah. But they just couldn't do it, man. They just couldn't do it. Coach.
They turtled. They played not to lose, and they lost.
They did.
You're the underdog. Well, and Tank Bigsby went out of bounds. Tank Bigsby went out of bounds. That was huge.
Yeah, a lot of things you can point to, but the fact that Alabama gave them chances to score more than 3 points, and they didn't because they had a hobbled backup quarterback. That screwed them to begin with. If Alabama gives you a chance to score, you got to take advantage of that. Like if they're gonna screw up, you got to let them screw up, and you can't stop them from screwing up.
All right, well, Coach, take us through this game here. There's a lot going on. It's you know, Georgia's toughest test of the year. But I think I speak on behalf of literally all college football fans. Please knock Alabama out of this. We don't have to see them in the playoff.
We're going to try our damnedest. So I think, honestly, the toughest thing Alabama brings to the table is Jameson Williams, John Metchie, Billingsley, and Bryce Young in the passing game. I think when, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, I think if you can slow their run game to next to nothing, then you can kind of pin your ears back and play pass, because if they can't run on your base defense, they're going to struggle passing. And Auburn gave us a recipe on how to get after Bryce Young on some downs, and how not to get after Bryce Young on the other downs, where, I mean, for Bryce Young, you have to get in his face. You can't allow him to either get out of the pocket or be able to climb the pocket. You got to collapse that thing all the way around them. And I think where Georgia matches up well in this scenario is they got guys in the middle that can collapse the pocket from the cylinder. And it can close things down, and it can really shut some windows for Bryce Young, because that's where he makes a lot of his big plays, is he moves and climbs the pocket and then delivers a deep shot down the field. And that's where the big plays happen. That's where you see John Metchie streaking down the sideline, or Jameson Williams running a deep post and mossing somebody and getting a 50-yard gain. You know, that's where you see all that. So you have to get shots on Bryce Young, and you have to make things muddy in front of him. That being said, again, you have to figure out a way to contain Jameson Williams. If you let him get loose – it could end up being a long day for you, because Alabama, what they do well is they score. They can score in bunches despite the all the limitations that Bill O'Brien brings to your offense. All right, defensively for the Tide, the obvious answer is Will Anderson. You got to have a plan for Will Anderson. He is a menace to every offense in America. He is a disruptor. He can wreck a game. It's somebody that you don't want hitting your quarterback over and over and over and over again. Alabama secondary, I've been disappointed with how they've played. Overall, they haven't been as good against the passing game. And then, of course, I do think to a certain degree they can get pushed around in the run game a little bit. I think LSU and Arkansas and some of these teams have shown that you can move the ball in Alabama, which is not typical of an Alabama defense. But like any other team, for Georgia to be able to win, and what Georgia's been able to do all season long is they have not allowed teams to get momentum. They've played extremely clean football for the most part, and they have not allowed teams, any team that starts to get momentum, they squash it. And Alabama, they're going to have to do the same thing. They're going to have to get hits on Bryce Young, completely stuff the run game, which is their forte anyway. And they're going to have to be dynamic offensively. They're going to have to be able to make all those intermediate throws they made against Tennessee and Arkansas. They're going to have a big special teams play. I mean, it's still Alabama. And even though they're not like the Alabama from last year, they're still Alabama. They still got some talent. So you still have to play a really, really, really good game, really clean game, and almost a near perfect game in order to win this one. So, and then there's that Bama factor, that Bama mental factor that you have to get past. So that's probably the biggest things when you look at this matchup. Now, when you look at the Georgia side, obviously for Alabama, they've got to figure out a way to block Devontae Wyatt and Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, and that linebacking core. They've got to figure out a way to get some movement on that front seven. If they can't, they're screwed. They've got to be able to way to create some passing windows for Bryce Young and really live by the big play. Or what's my buzzword?
Chunk plays.
And offensively, Stetson's got to drop his nuts here. And he's got to ball out like he has been all year, but he's got to go to even another level. He's got to take this thing over if they want to win, because he's going to get the chance. So this is his time. He's got to play above his head, and they've got to be dynamic, which they have been all year, but they've got to continue to be that way.
Hey coach, I got a quick question for you.
All right.
Is Georgia good at sacking the quarterback?
Yes, they're very good at sacking the quarterback. Some guy named Nolan Smith seems like he's always back there.
So is it a cause for concern that Alabama allows 3 sacks a game, which is 112th in the country?
That would be a cause for concern if you're a Tide fan. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because Georgia, with the pressures that they get, not only, and it's not just one guy getting it. It's Nolan Smith, Trayvon Walker, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Channing Tindall, Quay Walker. They're all getting in on the action.
Yeah, give me Georgia in this one.
Well, they're going to call some good ball plays now.
All right, let's head over to the Big Ten. Josh, your Iowa Hawkeyes are playing in the Big Ten title game against the Michigan Wolverines, just like we all had it drawn up before the weekend.
Ed will be there.
Will you really?
Literally. We have tickets.
You're going to spend the weekend in Indy.
Spending the weekend in Indy.
Josh is going to scalp.
Josh, is Kristen going with you?
He's going to scalp.
She is not. We got 2 tickets because there was a little mix-up.
So it's just you and Brian?
Little mishap, yes. So back when the team was ranked, I believe, 2nd in the country, Dad put in his request for his 2 allotted tickets, and his friend was supposed to put in his request so we'd have 4 total tickets. And the friend didn't drop the ball on it. So as a result, my mom and my girlfriend not coming. look, I mean, this one is a 11-point spread, 10.5-point spread of, you know, for a reason. Michigan is ranked number two in the country. Hey, maybe that'll be bad luck. Iowa lost when we were number two in the country.
No, if only Michigan was playing Purdue.
Yeah. Michigan, hey, black and gold, same color scheme. Michigan is better at the quarterback position, really good at rushing the quarterback, and Iowa's offensive line has been suspect. I think Iowa probably has the
outside zone, though.
Yeah, I think Iowa has the better punter. I think overall Iowa has the better special teams. Although Michigan is dangerous there too. What this one comes down to is, simply put, Iowa's defense is going to have to do like they did at the beginning of the year against Iowa State and Indiana, which is force gobs of turnovers, creating short fields. And I think it's going to take a little bit of Michigan just had their super emotional high. They knocked off their arch rival for the first time since 2011. They are making their first title game. Everyone and their brother has them in the college football playoffs. And, well, the game still has to be played. We don't know where their mental headspace is. Iowa's fared very well against Jim Harbaugh. We know how to attack them, and we know how to stop them. We've done that in the past. They've been really tight games, with Iowa winning quite a few of them. I think they have beaten Harbaugh every year that they've played him. So, you know, there's a possibility. I don't love it. Dad and I are prepared to leave it at halftime if it comes to it. but it's really hard, and Coach can attest to this, it's really hard to get up emotionally invested so close after a mammoth we beat our rival type game. It's a classic letdown. It's weird that you would have a letdown in a title game, but there is a scenario for that happening.
Yeah, I mean, at least they're not playing Ohio State, right, Josh?
Oh, thank God they're not playing Ohio State.
We're playing Ohio State is right. You know, I think that Iowa's best weapon might be Torrey Taylor.
Bunting is winning.
I mean, in this case, it might be. It's, you know, it's obviously if it feels like Michigan could should win this game. You know, this is the Cook household fight with your brother being a Michigan alum. Is he flying in for the game?
He's not. It was too short a notice. He did not think Michigan was beating Ohio State, and he certainly did not think Iowa was making this game. Too tight for him.
All right.
He's like me, though. He roots for Iowa. So
I didn't realize that. I thought he rooted for Michigan still.
Nah. He'll go to Michigan games to hang out with friends. But yeah, Matt, come on. On a scale of incredibly pissed off to incredibly irate, vent for a few seconds. It's okay. This is a safe place.
Paul Chryst was outcoached by PJ Fleck.
Yeah, he was.
The Wisconsin football team played slower and sloppier than Minnesota. Wisconsin's offense made Minnesota's defense look like Georgia's defense. Wisconsin looked like was confused on the offensive line again. There, if you want my full thoughts, I mean, you can always go back and take a look at Monday Morning Fullback with me and Matt Bernstein. But my God, it was just ugly. Everything was ugly. Play calling was terrible. There, Mertz was missing passes, but the offensive line was giving up pressures left and right. The offense was garbage. It was horse poo is what it was. It was horse poo.
Well, the positive,
we didn't,
of course,
do diddly poo.
The positive, of course, is, you know, let's be honest, Iowa deserves to be in this game. They played so well against Nebraska. They're coming in super hot. They dominated Nebraska. They absolutely, you know,
Hold on.
They were down 21-6 and needed 22 on the extra points. 19 points in the fourth quarter. There we go.
Yeah, including a block punt and a safety. Block punt, touchdown, and a safety.
Well, the good thing is Iowa has two quarterbacks, both of them mediocre.
Yeah, that was weird seeing Peaches come in relief and look better than Padilla.
But they're
Peaches' both bad.
Numbers were so bad.
But they're both bad. Oh, they're both bad. Okay.
There's a reason for it. It starts with a B and it ends with a Z.
Ends?
Ends of the Z.
I was going to say, I didn't know you had someone in your name named Benitez. But yeah. The Big 12 title.
Brian Ferentz.
Rafa Benitez. He coaches somewhere in Europe.
Yeah. The Big 12. Oklahoma State still has a shot to make the playoff.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry, coach. On.
Back this train up.
Okay.
He wants to talk more about the 122nd ranked offense.
Yeah. I mean, this offense,
23rd, but you know,
historically archaic. I think the biggest factor for this Big Ten championship, y'all hit the nail on the head and just brushed right through it, is the emotional factor, like with Michigan. Do they have enough in the tank to get back up for the Big Ten title game? Or is this going to be a classic letdown? Because let's face it, they're just not simply seasoned enough to come back from it and get play at that high level again. That's my biggest question mark for this Big Ten title game for Michigan. Otherwise, Josh, I hate to break it to you, but if Michigan plays anywhere close to what they did on Saturday, this one's going to be a snoozer.
It's okay. There's a lot of good restaurants and bars in Indianapolis.
Michigan was completely just out-physicaled Ohio State. Like, they just took it to them. It was Ohio State's
I will say, it just dawned on me. I'm a little worried. Obviously, I'm worried about Michigan, but it just dawned on me. I'm either 0-2 or 0-3 in West Lafayette. I'm 0-1 in Indianapolis.
Been to Bloomington yet?
Yes, we killed Indiana there. There we go.
Okay, that's what I'm
so
here
for. I'm 1-5 or 4, whatever it is, in the state of Indiana.
I don't feel like it's going to get much better this weekend. Sorry, bud.
Hey, it'll make the upset that much more special. At least I'm going into it fully expecting to get blown out.
The Big 12. Just Oklahoma State and Baylor, just like we all drew it up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I thought.
If you listen to the preview we did over the summer, it's exactly what
I think we picked. I want to say we picked Oklahoma and Kansas State, I think, is what we picked.
I picked Iowa State.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I think most of us had Baylor, like, in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down on Oklahoma State this year, but I was wrong because they found a defense. And
yeah, they did. They found some defense.
Such a novelty in the Big 12.
Defense, what is that?
Big 12 defense this year was actually way better. Okie State, Iowa State, Kansas State.
Even Baylor.
Yeah, they played some good defenses.
They did.
Maybe with Cincinnati coming in and BYU coming in, that those teams will kind of rebrand what defense is in the Big 12, which might be refreshing.
So it looks like Gary Bohannon did not play last week against Texas Tech for Baylor. It looks like he will be back for this game, which is big. Okay, so assuming things go chalk this weekend, Josh. Actually, no, Corey, I want to hear from you first on this one. Assuming things go chalk this weekend, Oklahoma State wins, Cincinnati wins, Georgia wins, and Michigan wins. Is that a lock for Oklahoma State to make the playoff?
Got to be. I mean, who's left? I mean, you know,
who's left? Coachless Notre Dame and two-loss Alabama.
Yeah, you got to go. I mean,
two-loss Ohio State.
I know your Big 12 hasn't really represented well in the playoff, but like you can't, like Alabama's not a conference champion. They've got two losses. I mean, that's two strikes against them right there that Oklahoma State doesn't have. You have to put Oklahoma State in just on principle alone. I mean, Michigan probably gets the two seed, and then I think you throw in an undefeated Cincinnati team, you throw them the bone and maybe put them as a three seed and see if they can beat Michigan and throw Okie State in at the four, or you flip Okie State and Cincinnati and put Cincinnati at the four and just let them go be sacrificial lambs at Georgia for that rematch. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think that's got to be your four teams, though.
Thoughts about this game, Josh?
Yeah, going back to the scenario, I think if it goes chalk, then yeah, Oklahoma State's in. I think if Alabama wins, Okie State also sneaks in because just Baylor's ranked top 10 and Houston so far down 21st. The committee is doing anything they can to get Cincinnati out. So if Georgia gets upset, it's going to be Michigan 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, Okie State 4, I bet. I think that's what they'll do.
I think it's Okie State win and they're in.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of this game, you know, they played each other and Oklahoma State beat them by 10. They should have beaten them by about 30. Baylor was awful that game. And the only reason why it was as close as it was is Spencer Sanders threw three interceptions. Oklahoma State, if the game is anything like it was back when they played the first time, they should win this going away. But just like the Michigan thing, really hard to get up emotionally 2 weeks in a row. They just won Bedlam. They just won a huge game. What will be their mental state? Iowa and Baylor both playing with house money. They should be loose. No reason for Baylor or Iowa to keep anything in the playbook. Do reverses, do options, do flea flickers. Who knows? Who cares? Just have fun. And that's when crazy things happen. And maybe Baylor pulls off the big upset.
Yeah, I mean, if Baylor's going to get it done, it's going to be because they're, you know, they're able to be efficient with their offense, I think, and get probably break a big return by Ebner in special teams. ACC, again, just like we all drew it up, Wake Forest and Pitt. I'm going to personally set the over-under at 103.5 points of this game.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah, anything to add here besides offense, and more offense?
You forgot offense.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you forgot offense.
Bruh. Excited about anything here, Josh?
I'm super excited. One thing that really is a curveball that I did not see coming is Wake Forest defense at Boston College was absurdly good. They held BC to 10 points. They held them to 6 yards in the second half. You know, can they have any sort of repeat performance? I don't know. That's been Wake's bugaboo. It's also kind of a Pitt's bugaboo. Both defenses are kind of optional for showing up. But that was something I did not expect. And that has me heading into it, I kind of was thinking Pitt would win because, you know, Pickett's just going to throw all over that porous Wake defense. But after seeing Wake play so inspired against BC, I'm starting to lean a little bit more towards Wake. The game's in Charlotte. The Wake fans, when they were at the Belk Bowl a few years ago, were absolutely insane. They like somehow managed to have way more fans than they should. So I think a similar thing could happen. I'm just super excited for this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be, Coach, I mean, your offensive coordinator, it's just going to be fun for you to watch. I hope you can maybe take some
furious notes, because this game is going to be fast moving, man. I, you know, the matchup of like the prestige of the programs don't really get it for me, but just as from a pure scoring standpoint and just offensive production, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely wild. So finally, Pac-12, we've got a rematch of a game we saw a couple weeks ago that was an absolute blowout where Utah destroyed Oregon. This game excites me like way less than the rest. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what all changed in the last few weeks.
It's also on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm not sure what all changed the last few weeks. If Utah plays anything like they did
Utah's
going to
punch
them
in the mouth.
They're going to blow them out.
I love this Utah team. Yeah.
I think the one thing maybe going for Oregon that we should point out is first game was in Salt Lake City, played way up at altitude, outdoor stadium, full home field advantage for Utah. Neutral site game, Las Vegas. We'll see. I do think Oregon, once they were out of the playoffs, they looked a little flat against the Beavers. Mm-hmm. In that game, I think this one does actually mean more to Utah.
Yeah, and I also think that they've been a different team ever since CJ Verdell went out for the season. He was a huge loss. Travis Dye, don't get me wrong, he has scored a ton of touchdowns, but he just doesn't like ground out the yards like Verdell did. So, coach.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I just, you know, this Utah team is like 3,000 more times physical too, and they really kind of took it to Oregon in the first matchup. Now, will Oregon adjust a little bit? Yes, they will. I don't think they're going to get their ass handed to them again, but I do think Utah is going to win the Pac-12 this year finally and get that one for Kyle Whittingham. I love this matchup for Utah. I think they're just playing better right now too.
We're excited to announce a new sponsor, and that is Lightbox. Say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gifts of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find. And they're a light price, $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but are grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink and beautiful blue, as well as a classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift they'll never want to take off, priced so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. So head on over to lightboxjewelry.com and add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds, never a dull moment.
All right, let's head to our spread formation. Had no coach last week. I went 3-2. Josh went 2-3. Josh, we were both on Iowa -1.5 against Nebraska. They covered that.
Yes, they did.
We both had Wisconsin -7 at Minnesota. Nope. I had UNC +6 at NC State. NC State won the game in the most ridiculous manner, but UNC still covered. Josh and I were both on Florida State +2.5 at Florida, and they lost by 3. And we both had Georgia -35 at Georgia Tech, and they won by 42, 45. They won by 45, so they covered.
With the shutout.
So
that was a take Georgia no matter what
the
spread was.
I believe I said I had Georgia by a million last week, and I wasn't far off. Yeah. For the season, coach is 27-31-2. I'm now 27-36-2. Josh 25-38-2. We're doing not five but six games this week because we have five Group of Five title games plus a random Pac-12 game for you. So we will start with Conference USA. Western Kentucky is a 1.5-point favorite on the road at UTSA, whose undefeated season came crashing down to North Texas last week. I don't really understand how the 11-1 Roadrunners are an underdog at home, but it's probably because Bailey Zapp is throwing for like 500 yards a game, Josh.
Yeah, Bailey Zapp has almost 5,000 passing yards, 49-68, 52 touchdowns. So, I think a lot of people are looking at that North Texas loss and saying, oh, UTSA's done. The thing about that game is we got to put it in context. UTSA had division wrapped up. They were not going to make the group of five representative to the big old bowl game. It was kind of a pointless game for them. They rested their quarterback after halftime. North Texas started the season 1-6, and they won their final five to make a bowl game. It meant the world to them to make that bowl. So they had way more to play for, and they roughed up our Roadrunners. Western Kentucky lost to San Antonio earlier in the year by 6. Western Kentucky has had an awesome, awesome winning streak here, winning 7 in a row to get to this game. But we've been riding UTSA all year. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Give me the Roadrunners.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Give me the Roadrunners. They've been hot all year. I'm not going to let one bad game get a hold of them. So they've been strong all year. Rock solid. Give me beep, beep.
Okay. I'm going to zag. I'm going to go Western Kentucky because I don't know if Frank Harris is going to be ready for this game. He left he's a quarterback for UTSA.
Coach's decision. They didn't want him to get hurt. He's active.
Is he?
Everything I've seen said that he's playing and was not hurt at all.
Oh, that makes a big difference then to me. I was going to say without him, I'm definitely going Western Kentucky.
But also we're trusting message boards and websites that follow UTSA football.
I'm still going Western Kentucky. I can't get off of that that Bailey Zapp high. Houston Baptist transfer just putting up he and his offensive coordinator came together from Houston Baptist and are just putting up the most ridiculous numbers. So
video game stuff.
Like they're putting up numbers that would make Mike Leach blush.
Mm-hmm.
So next, Mountain West, Utah State against San Diego State in Carson. San Diego State is a 5.5-point favorite, Josh.
Yeah, Brady Hoke knows defense. They were 1 10-point loss away from being undefeated this year. Utah State was blown out by Boise and BYU. I think San Diego State is in the level of those two teams. So I'm going to take the Aztecs to cover the big spread.
Yeah, same. I just watching them play last week against Boise was outstanding. I like the Aztecs. I like what they do. So give me San Diego State.
Yeah, Aztecs by 2 touchdowns. The MAC, Kent State 3-point favorite against Northern Illinois in Detroit.
Yeah, Northern has the better record, but I think that Kent State played a little bit harder schedule. They were in the harder division of the two when they played each other earlier. Kent State won 52-47, so we know that they can score a lot of points. They're favored in this game for that very reason. I think I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to have Kent State win the game again.
I'm going chalk, man. I like Kent State. They're finally Detroit's going to see a championship, just not from the Lions.
I'm also going Kent State because I love their offense. They have one of the most balanced attacks in the country. They run it well. They throw it well. I think that, I personally have been advocating for their OC to become the next Wisconsin OC. I think he does some really interesting stuff, and I think he would be a great fit in Madison and would bring some life to that program. I've got Kent State by 10. The American, Houston, Cincinnati. Cincinnati 10.5-point favorite at home in Nipper Stadium in Cincinnati. Josh.
Look, Holgorsen deserves a ton of credit. We've ridden him many times in his career. Bad loss against Texas Tech to start the season. They won 11 straight. The thing about it is they've only played one ranked opponent, SMU. They won that game. Well done. I just think Cincinnati's a different class. I think that Luke Fickell's handled this coaching stuff really well as the carousel started to spin. And maybe it's just sentimental that I want to see Cincinnati in the playoffs. But I'm going to take the Bearcats even with a double-digit spread.
Coach?
Ooh. Yeah, I think this is going to be a tough matchup. The toughest for Luke Fickell. I mean, it's a championship game. Houston's going to be up. But, again, they got playoff on their mind. So give me Cincy.
Yeah, Cincy with a big, strong performance. You know, they'll need it in order to...
I like that it's up in Ohio, too.
Yeah, I like that a lot, and especially if it's going to be cold. I'm going to like that a lot. So give me Cincy. App State at Louisiana. App State is a 3-point favorite on the road in Lafayette. Do we know if Napier's coaching this game?
I don't know.
Either way, App State's a 3-point favorite. Josh, who do you like?
Yeah, I think the App State being favored thing is purely because of the Napier stuff. These two teams played each other in Lafayette earlier in the year, and Lafayette won 41-13. So give me those points because I think Louisiana wins.
Coach?
Give me Appy State. I'm going to take chalk here. I think they're gonna pull this thing out for the Fun Belt title.
I like Louisiana as well at home here. Finally, random Pac-12 game. USC at Cal. How far has USC fallen? They are 4.5-point dogs against a pathetic Cal team that lost to Arizona just a couple weeks ago. Yet here we are. Josh.
I think this one's simple. USC does not give a shit at all. They're going to play with zero interest whatsoever. Cal, it's a home game for a program like Cal. It's always nice when you can say you beat the men of Troy. I think Wilcox has them fired up and they cover the spread.
Coach?
Yeah, I don't even know how to pick this one. I think USC doesn't give a shit. Cal doesn't give a shit. I think someone's going to have to win this game, so I'm going to take the underdog in this one just because when in a game that probably neither of them care about. There you go.
I think Cal cares a lot more than USC, which is why I am picking Cal. All right. Josh, did we miss anything?
Not that I can think of, other than it is way past my bedtime. I gotta go to bed.
Way past my bedtime.
11:20 local.
Coach is yawning. I'm yawning. So that's gonna do it for us here on the League of Motion College Football Podcast. So on behalf of our own offensive coordinator, the coach Corey Burton in Nashville, Tennessee, and our intrepid blogger from Big Ten Accounting, Josh Cook, up there in Chicago, Illinois, this is the Professor Emeritus in the Music City saying so long and see you next time on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast.
Goodbye.